the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
The president was on his way to Washington, met with reporters on board Air Force One on his way back to Washington from Florida, where he landed today to look at the wreckage. Mm-hmm. He was asked about the criticism that he has faced from Republicans because he has reached out to Democrats. He says he thinks that many GOP members are happy with what he's doing.
Well, many Republicans really like it. As you know, I was with a great Republican representative just now, who you know very well, and two of them. And they are very, very happy with what I'm doing. And I'm a Republican through and through, but I'm also finding that sometimes to get things through, it's not working that way. And, you know, we got very poorly treated on the health care plan, and now you see what's happening where people are going single payer, exactly what I said would happen. And single payer would be a terrible thing for our country. So my relationship with the Republicans is excellent. Many of them agree with what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, Representative King called it the irreparable deal, betrayal of Trump's base. You saw Breitbart call him amnesty done. Ann Coulter says, now everyone wants him impeached. To which a lot of Democrats jumped on board and said, now we agree on something, Ann Coulter. I mean, I'm not sure everyone's on board with this in terms of the far right.
I like that he's getting dumb nicknames now. He's always so proud of himself with Lion Ted, Crooked Hillary.
Amnesty done.
Amnesty done.
Wow. Wait, there's more.
We have to get things passed. And if we can't get things passed, then we have to go a different route. But we have to get things passed. Now, you've covered my statement very accurately on the dinner last night. And, you know, they cannot obstruct for a wall because we definitely need a wall. I just spoke, by the way, to the president of Mexico. And as you know, it's been impossible to reach him because of he was in the mountains where they had the earthquake and there was no cell.
I like it. He always does it, as you know. No, we don't know.
No.
You can tell us. You know what? You don't have to tell us things we already know. Or does he think that somehow he is flattering us by saying, well, you know, you're so smart, you already know this? Or is he mocking us because we're not so smart, we don't already know it? I don't know. No matter what, it's a bad communications tactic.
Wouldn't you think the president of the United States of America would have other ways of reaching
helicopter
other world leaders other than just they drop the cell phone like it's a bad horror movie? I mean, there's no other way of reaching them.
Really? Get out, the call's coming from inside the casita.
I mean, don't they get the iPhone 10 earlier than everyone else?
Yeah, I know. You know what, I think it is just as dumb as we think. I think that's the sort of thing that can happen.
Yeah,
you know, it could be very simple.
But those big sat phones that you always see in all the movies where the guy gets on there and says, I need backups right now.
Right.
I would imagine. Yeah, the president of Mexico probably should have that, right?
You'd think so.
Maybe he's got one of those prepaid carrier deals, you know, burner phones. You never know.
All right. This can come in handy.
This is where, you know, we're on the precipice of an international incident if we continue down this road. All right. There's more. Here's where this is the part. I mentioned this when we were with John Williams earlier.
Yep.
That this is the part that kind of got me. He's trying to rewrite Charlottesville, revisit it and rewrite it. I'm not sure that he should. This is smart, but go ahead.
I think especially in light of the advent of Antifa. If you look at what's going on there, you know, you have some pretty bad dudes on the other side also. And essentially, that's what I said. Now, because of what's happened since then with Antifa, you look at, you know, really what's happened since Charlottesville. A lot of people are saying, in fact, a lot of people have actually written, gee, Trump might have a point. I said, you got some very bad people on the other side also, which is true.
A lot of people are writing on Twitter that Trump might have a point. Okay, let's account that. And secondly, that was not the point he was making.
Mm-mm.
He was trying to say there are good people on both sides. He might have even been able to slide by. I thought about this. He might have been able to slide by going, there are people of goodwill on both sides because there's people who didn't want to see history torn down. Okay, I happen not to agree with that sentiment, but I think people of goodwill might argue that it's the people who were screaming Heil Hitler that were the problem.
Yeah.
And you just got to be really careful there.
Well, you have to be careful with condemning that. And I think that the second statement, people weren't sure exactly where he stood. And then you saw the people who are representative of those type of racist viewpoints jump on and cheer him and think that was the greatest speech we've heard.
And they're saying he speaks for them and David Duke. And you know what Chris Rock said? You know what you call people who march with Nazis? More Nazis! You know?
All right. Checking in at
number four.
Sheriff David Clark joined Fox and Friends this morning, where he said, all bets are off if people at Berkeley resort to violence again in order to shut down conservative guests.
These goons with Antifa, whatever, until government shows the will, and Antifa knows this, they don't have the will to push back on us.
Government? Antifa?
Meaning, no, I'm talking about, when I say government, I'm talking about the university.
Okay.
And I'm talking about law enforcement. They know they don't have the will to push back against us. And it's, as long as they know that, they're going to continue to push that line. So at some point, these goons, when they bring the violence, I'm talking, I'm going to be clear about that. Once they bring the violence, they need their ass kicked.
Ooh, tough talking from the sheriff.
Was he wearing his Captain Crunch outfit when he was on?
Yes, he was. He also dismissed ESPN reporter Jemele Hill for calling President Trump a racist.
She's a backbencher, okay? And sometimes when you're in that situation, you do or say things to bring attention to yourself to try to lift you up to where the stars are on that show, you know, on ESPN. You know, this term racism's thrown around so much, it doesn't even have any meaning anymore. It's been so diluted. Everybody's a bigot. Everybody's a racist. Everybody's a fascist. And it's like, you know, come on now. So when sports starts to seep into politics, it's disastrous. And you can see that because you hear idiotic statements from people in sports.
Oh, he's right. That Jesse Owens thing was a debacle for America when sports entered into politics. Historically, he's absolutely true.
Oh, God.
But ESPN is moving to more of like an opinion-based, absolutely. Don't they? You know, so it's sort of, that's kind of their new thing. And I think ESPN has separated itself carefully from what she said, and she apologized, and that's where it sits.
Okay. Everybody in America, that's the beautiful thing about America, is everybody is entitled to their opinions. And I subscribe very, very dearly and hold on to this very tightly as an axiom for life. Opinions are like the keister. Everyone has them, and most of them stink. Here is Violetta Podomatic with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots, being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
This week on Chicago's Best, everything you've been asking for, you begged, you pleaded, you succeeded. Don't miss Chicago's Best, most requested restaurants, Sunday night at 10 on WGN TV.
All right. Wearing my Hart Scheffner Mark suit right now as we do this.
Looking sharp.
Yeah, it's the best. This suit, which feels great, it's like, it's unbelievably inexpensive by comparison to what it would be on the rack if you go to this deal that they're doing over the weekend.
Thanks.
At their factory direct, the outlet sale. They put tents up in the parking lot of the factory.
I got to head over there. I'm in the market for a couple of new suits.
Suits are still warm when they come off. They're like literally like nice. Right off the presses.
And it's that fancy wool. It looks awesome.
You can find out the number of the guy that inspected it. Yeah. It's usually 47, right?
Yes. Or number 17. Number 17! Yeah. Number 7. Get out here, number 17. Come here.
Come in
for the big one. All right, here we go. Top 5 continues.
Number 3.
A Georgia woman who recounted how she received $4,000 in Delta Airlines vouchers when she gave up her seat on an overbooked flight says she is now considering taking a free trip with her entire family in tow. Tracy Smith says that she boarded her flight from Atlanta to South Bend, Indiana on September 8th with her husband and son because they had tickets to the Georgia-Notre Dame game. She did not end well, did it? And then they didn't Georgia beat
Georgia won.
Yeah.
For these fans, I guess.
By a point.
Yeah.
She first heard the flight was overbooked when she arrived at the gate and says that Delta airline workers began compensations for people to give up their seat and...
It was like a live auction on the plane. Everybody was rowdy, laughing. Everybody's looking at each other like, are you going to take it? Are you going to take it? They started at $1,500, then $2,000, then $2,200. $2,500. Finally, the bidding got up to $3,000. Wow. I looked over at my husband. I said, you know, I really think that if they get to $4,000, I'm going to get off this plane. They came back at $4,000. I mean, and without a flinch, I pressed the flight attendant button.
Gentlemen, this is your captain of flight deck. We seem to be a little oversold here.
I'd like to start the bidding at 1,500. Who's got 1,500, 1,500, 1,500, 1,600, 1,600, 1,750, 1,750, 2,000, 2,000, 2,500. Do I hear 3,000, 3,000, yes, 3,500, 3,500, 4,000. Sold at $4,000.
I think I would have been in even sooner. 4,000, I mean, 3,000? That seems high?
We know you don't have a lot of options when you fly, so we'd like to thank you for being a hostage at Delta Airlines.
Hey, it's come a long way since the days of Dr. Dow.
Yeah, right?
They've changed a few things. That's true. This whole family will be dragged off.
You could, I'm looking this up, you could get an Uber Black and still have about 3,300 left.
She said they got on a plane 8 hours later, too, so it wasn't even that much of an inconvenience.
How amazing is that?
Yeah, good for them.
All right. Yes, very. All right, checking in at
number two.
Now, I know that you guys discussed this in the top five yesterday, but Frank Vincent has passed away. Mm-hmm. And Frank Vincent was one of those guys who can accurately be described, not ironically described, as a friend of the show. Mm-hmm. Frank Vincent had been on this radio show over the last couple of decades a number of times. Mm-hmm. He and I had done a couple charity events together. He was a wonderful artist. Mm-hmm. You know, you remember Frank Vincent from whether it's Goodfellas, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Where he was Billy Batts. Yeah. Billy
yep.
Batts?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely right.
And then, of course, from The Sopranos, he was wonderful at being a tough guy. Mm-hmm. But he really wasn't much of a tough guy at all.
Because it's a character. I'm an actor. I've played good guys. I've played cops. I've played bad guys. I mean, I'm acting. I'm not that. You know, this is a guy who came in and wants to offer protection. He's a thug.
Okay, that's from our show in 2013.
How cool is that?
He also talked about how James Gandolfini. We were talking to him right after James Gandolfini passed away, and about how James Gandolfini had actually beaten him out for the movie role in True Romance.
Uh-huh. Mm. Now, when I went and auditioned for David, myself, Tony Sirico and Dominic Chianese, we all went up and we all auditioned for Uncle Junior. That was so when you go to an audition, they give everybody the same sides, and you go in and you read the script. So we all auditioned for that. Tony Sirico, they made a new character. David made a new character, Paulie Walnuts. Mm-hmm. Dominic Chianese was perfect for Uncle Junior, and I didn't get a role because I just come off Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. Now David wanted nobody that anybody ever saw before. And the only one he got then that anybody ever saw before was Lorraine Bracco.
Wow. How
about that?
And he was just like you said yesterday, Richard, he came off as such a tough guy that it was impossible to separate him from that, but in person, really warm.
Yeah, yeah. It was
warm, loving artist, yeah. Yeah. He's probably most famous in the film world for the one line of "Go home, get your shine box."
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yep. Still see that on T-shirts.
Hey, this is Frank Vincent, Billy Batts from Goodfellas, and you're listening to the Rokan Show.
Oh, cool!
You touch the dial, I break your fingers. Now go home and get your shine box.
Unbelievably
That's beautiful.
Cool. That's so great.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So
need to tee that up.
Yeah, it was. He was a great man, mm-hmm. and. Yeah. And also a jazz musician.
Yeah, I'll send you guys a photo. You can put it up on the website of him and Joe Pesci in the early 70s with turtlenecks and mustaches. It looks like they're in Three Dog Night. It's amazing. You have to really study and go, yep, that's Pesci.
Does Don Draper smooth himself into a swivel cocktail chair in the front row?
I think so.
All right, and finally,
number one.
You know what? I'm sorry. I just got to play this. You will all get it. Jimmy Kimmel, Sean Spicer. Here you go.
You thought that was funny,
that,
right?
That was kind of funny.
You like that. Did the president, he didn't think that was funny?
I don't think he found as much humor as
is
others.
Is he particularly annoyed by the fact that a woman was playing you?
I really didn't ask a ton of questions.
Yeah.
That may have been a contributing
what
factor.
What a no-win situation that is. Like, they're making fun of me, and you're mad at me for it.
And this she wins crazy. An Emmy.
And then she won an Emmy.
That's really the truth. You know, he laughs about that Melissa McCarthy thing now. Uh-huh. He didn't at the time.
No.
And he actually told people around him at the time that he was hurt by it. Mm-hmm. But the problem was he knew as he was getting mauled on late night weekend national television that basically everybody who's watching are going to see a clip of that on some news show.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
That his real problem was going to be with the president when he showed up at work on Monday.
Because he looked at it as weak or something. Like he didn't like that portrayal. But did you see him, though? Didn't he look like 1,000 pounds had been lifted off his shoulders?
Oh, yeah.
He looked happy.
The mooch, they all act like they're miners who were pulled out just after 27 days trapped. When they're out, they're so happy.
Like the mooch, same thing.
The mooch,
them, right?
Oh, my gosh.
They're all just looking.
He's singing in the rain.
He's going to be on The View.
Was there for a week. He didn't even make a week.
And he looked stressed at the end there, didn't he?
All right. Sean, the president's tweeting?
So when the president would tweet, did you have an alert on your phone?
Yes.
Did he ever run a tweet by you before tweeting it?
I don't believe. Maybe once or twice.
Did you ask him to?
To run him by?
Yeah. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
It had to be hard. Talk about your phone blowing up and not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
10 times a morning.
The president's online, too. He's what? All right.
Wow.
Guess what I just did? I made poopy on Twitter. All right. You know what it's time for?
The top five at five.